So our gospel story today sounds almost as if Jesus doesn't want anybody to follow him. I mean, look at what happens here. The first guy, Jesus says, follow me. And Jesus says, well, we live hard, we got nowhere to go. There's an invitation, huh? Second one says, Jesus, I'll follow you, but my dad just died. So let me take care of the funeral, then I'll follow you. And Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead. Again, a stellar invitation, huh? Third one says, yeah, Jesus, I'll follow. Let me just go say goodbye to the folks at home. Let them know where I am. Now, nobody who puts their hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. So, can anybody follow Jesus? Can we follow Jesus? I mean, if we have jobs and homes, if we go to funerals, can we follow Jesus? Well, of course. See, one of the temptations we face is to reduce Jesus' words to a false choice. Either we walk away from everything and leave it all, you know, family, job, home. We do that and follow Jesus, or we don't follow him at all. But that's not it at all. Instead, I wonder if Jesus uses these strong words as a way to emphasize the urgency, the nowness of following him now. That following Jesus needs to be first. Not the only thing in our lives, but the first thing. The most important thing, the defining principle in how we live. So Jesus wants us to be serious and intentional about following him. Not when it's convenient. Not when it fits our schedule. Not only if the Packers aren't playing, but all the time. Jesus calls us to live in the world without being limited and defined by it. That is the balance we need to seek if we're going to be serious about following Jesus. That constant tension between God's ways of mercy and love and the world's ways of selfishness and hate and all about me. So Jesus tells us there is some urgency about carrying his light into the world, about bringing God's ways into the world right now, today. Now, of course, if we've got it all, if our biggest question is where are we going to go on vacation, then, frankly, there may not feel like there's a lot of urgency about it. But if people are hungry, if there's no food in the house with kids around, the rent is due and there's not enough money, they're hungry today and they need food now. If people are struggling or afraid or lonely, and if you've been in that place, you know what that's like, there is only now. It's hard to see even tomorrow. There's just the frantic fear of now. It's all you can see. So Jesus says there's an urgency about loving others, about forgiving those who hurt us. We don't need to get rid of everything in our lives to follow Jesus. We just need to make following Jesus the first thing in our lives as the thing that everything else is organized around. We can keep our things. We just have to guard against our things keeping us. And the more we have, the harder that is. You see, when we follow Jesus, our possessions and our abilities, they become the means with which we get to love others. We cannot feed hungry people without pots and pans. But when we follow Jesus, a simple kitchen turns into a love factory. It's a place where you make a meal for a friend who's just experienced a death or an illness or somehow is facing overwhelming things in their lives. It's a place we prepare meals for those who don't have enough to get by. Buying veggies off the garden table today for Pine Ridge improves the lives of some of the Lakota living there. An old bed hanging around your basement, you know, the one that you move twice a year to sweep the spiders out from and the cobwebs behind, okay? Give that away to a kid who's never had one. That's how we care for others. Now, on the surface, many of the ways we live our faith may not seem like they're real religious or that they're even a big deal. And that's kind of the point. when it becomes a normal thing that we do, when we stop to help somebody with a stalled car or give a ride to somebody whose car doesn't work, when we pass on clothes we don't need, we are caring for others. And when we do the right thing, it might feel good. It may not feel like we're defeating evil, but we are. Every time we love others, we are defeating evil. Now, we know. We can think up all kinds of reasons and excuses not to. We will always face pressure to minimize following Jesus to some kind of religion with its theology and rituals and then end up denying the importance of living it now. But following Jesus is not a religion, friends. It is a way of life. Now, following Jesus in our modern world means to be intentional about our choices, to continually reflect whether we are doing the loving thing. Are we shining the light of Christ, or are we spreading darkness? So following Jesus means that we need to keep asking ourselves, how am I living my faith now? Jesus calls us to an urgent faith, loving God by loving others today, defeating evil in all the ways it comes, especially when evil pretends to be good and virtuous. Defeating evil only happens through the power of love. I want to be clear, it's not all sunshine and lollipops. There's a cost. There is a sacrifice at stake. See, following Jesus is not only inconvenient. Sometimes it's just downright hard, because there's times it means swimming against the current of our times. It's especially difficult when some voices in our world tell us that evil is good and darkness is light. So if hate of others becomes normal and acceptable, and we stand up to those who are victimized and stand with them, we are going to look like the bad guys. So 50 years ago, in the Jim Crow South, anybody who stood up for the rights of African Americans was considered a troublemaker and a rabble-rouser, and they were called a traitor to their race. 2 weeks ago, a group of Christians was arrested for leaving water in the desert for migrants seeking a better life. They're facing 30 years in prison. It's hard swimming upstream. When we follow Jesus, when we join him in living in his sense of urgency and the importance of living now, his way is the main thing. Now, the cost is we might be called names, we might be considered naive or foolish. That's what happens when you do the right thing. That's what happens when we live in urgent faith. You see, that does not mean preaching to others. It doesn't mean being moralistic and judgmental and otherwise offensive and annoying. Oh, no. An urgent faith is about loving others, caring for the least and the lost and the last, the poor, the weak, the victims, the hated, the forgotten, the feared, the pariahs of society. Now, there are times when our gut reaction might be to hate the haters, but that is not the way of Jesus. That just drags us down to the level of hate. We can stand up to hate, name the evil for what it is, but the stronger witness is urgent faith that lives in forgiveness, mercy, and compassion, of caring for those who are victims and those who are hated. So we can still go to work. We can still keep our houses. We can go to funerals and say goodbye to friends. We can still have friends and do things for ourselves. We can even still go fishing. Yes. But when we follow Jesus into an urgent faith, we don't need to give those things up. Instead, our lives grow to include so much more: meaning, making a difference, and living as partners with Jesus in recreating the world, redeeming the world, being who Jesus has called us to be. Little Christs, Christians, ones who join him in carrying light into the darkness. And Jesus says there is no time like now. follow me.